This evening, what I'd like to do, because we're coming to a portion in Galatians which really fits on to what we saw last week, it's not really something that is an entity in its own right. I would like us to consider these specific four verses that we read at the end of this, this chapter. And we will look at that. But we know that whether Paul was writing to the church in Corinth or in Ephesus or Thessalonica or Philippi or in this case in Galatians, we know that these young churches, these young Christians were going through a difficult time, and there was a cost to discipleship. There was absolutely no doubt, and there was certainly persecution and difficulty, and we see that. But there was also a great deception that was taking place, and that's what we will see in this particular version tonight. And I think that even these verses show us the danger that the opposition and the deception experienced by many can be a real problem. And it certainly was a problem for Paul. And in our life group, we're looking at Paul and the church in Thessalonica. And he had a real heartfelt feeling for the church in Thessalonica. And so he did for the Galatian church as well, as we know. And we know the opposition was there predominantly to say that it wasn't sufficient, grace wasn't enough, it was Jesus plus, it needed to be the law, there need to be that Jewish ritual involved as well to be a real Christian, and so on and so forth. And so here we are at the end, or midway through the fourth chapter of Galatians. And I'd like us just to briefly look at this. We'll then sing, then a short word as we come around the Lord's table. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of a gentleman by the name of François Fenelon. From France. He had a very interesting job. Quite dangerous, really. He was known as the court preacher. He was a court preacher. So this is in France, and he was court preacher for Louis XIV. Louis le Grand, as he was known, the Great. So Louis XIV. And actually, I'll just tell you this, since we've got some young people. Louis XIV had the same birthday as me. I knew that. Yes, he was born before me. Okay, 1638, actually, so September the 5th. Right? September the 5th. 1638, but September the 5th, the important one. And he died in 1715. But he was the court preacher. And one Sunday, the king, Louis XIV, arrived at the royal chapel to find only François Fenelon there. Now, he had his entourage with him, but he walked in and he went up to François Fenelon and he said, I'll say this in English if that's all right, because I couldn't do it. And he said, where is everybody? And François Fenelon turned to him and he said, forgive me, Your Majesty. He said, I sent out information during the week to say that you were not going to be here on Sunday morning because I wanted to see if the people were serving God in truth or flattering the king. The reason I tell that story is because the zeal that Paul is talking about in this first verse, this 17th verse, which is of no good, is like flattery. And that's what was happening to these Galatian Christians. It says this zeal, it was almost this eagerness to seek them. What was happening is they were using these legalists, these Judaizers were using the cloak of love to mask the truth of their actions and their words. And they wanted to really express this support and love and how wonderful these people were. And yet, they were excluding them from certain activities, from certain fellowships, from certain benefits, because they were Christian. And what they were trying to do is pull these new Christians away from Paul's teaching of the gospel. And they needed to look at the law. They needed to look at work. It wasn't sufficient by grace alone. And they wanted to exclude them. That word exclude that you see in that 17th verse means to shut out. It literally means to lock up, to put into bondage. Here we have Christians who have been set free. If the sun sets you free, you're free indeed. And yet, what they were trying to do was to shut them up, restrict them in what they could do, so that they could be one with these Judaizers. It was what we call a shutout, like in sport, when you keep a clean sheet in football. You've shut the opposition out. Well, what was happening is these Judaizers were trying to manipulate these Galatian Christians and almost bringing shame upon them. And of course, this rejection, this restriction, this shutting up would naturally put pressure on them so that they would conform to the authorities and the teaching of law following. You see, what they were really doing is that they were manipulating these Galatian Christians to become part of the group rather than follow the Lord and Paul's teaching that was taking. But and so here you go back to that illustration that I used at the beginning. What was the true meaning? Why did people go to church? Was it literally to flatter the king? Or was it truly to serve God in truth? And Paul, of course, wants this Galatian church, this new church, these new Christians, to follow the true teaching. He has said in verse 16, you remember in that verse before the ones that we're looking at, he said, I tell you the truth. He says, I'm telling you what is true. There's no deception here. I'm telling you the truth of the gospel. Paul wasn't against zeal in the true sense of the word. But it needed to be in good things. There had to be that real driving motivation. There had to be that true enthusiasm. There had to be that true focus on the Lord, not on the things of the world. And Paul wanted them to have zeal that was commendable. Zeal that serves a lie is a very dangerous thing. And he's obviously really concerned for them at this particular point, because you see in verse 19 he says, my little children, it's lovely, isn't it? My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. This is a protective father speaking. It's a real protective father that is speaking here. He had preached the gospel to them. He had helped them start in the way of faith. But this manipulation of the truth that they were experiencing was taking their eyes off the Lord, and in some ways onto themselves and onto works, what they could do, what they could add. And Paul was concerned for them. And he was almost experiencing that he was having to take them back. It's almost like this giving birth. It was like going back through a second childhood. They had grown, but it's almost as if it was cyclic, and they'd gone back, and he was having to bring them through again from that position that they once were in. Paul knew that this, his work of forming Christ in them, was not complete. We know that it is always dangerous when we have a new Christian, someone who comes to know the Lord, because we know there is one who is not happy and one who will try and attack. And if there isn't any foundation, I mean, have you ever tried pulling up a tree? It's not easy to pull up a tree. But if you pull up a new shoot that doesn't have the depth of roots, it's easier. And here we had new Christians. They were still probably on the milk of the word, as it were. And he was so, so concerned for them. And it's dangerous, and it's important for us as a church, when we have new Christians or people who are young in the faith, that we pray for their protection, that we nurture them, that we come alongside them, just as Paul was trying to do to this Galatian church. Yes, we must act and pray for the protection, because otherwise it's a bit like the parable of the sower, isn't it? When the good seed falls, but there are external agencies that come and take it away. And we have to be so, so careful with this. The forming of Christ that Paul talks about here is actually the word that is used is obviously morpho. The verb is morphe, where we get morphosis from, metamorphosis, the changing and the developing, the forming into, from the embryo into the imago, into the adult. And we have this gradual change. And we know when Paul was writing to the Roman church in chapter 8, he talked about how we had to be conformed to Christ. That was the purpose. In verses 28 and 29, 28 we know so well. But here he's talking about conforming to the image of Christ. That's the objective. And there's a wonderful phrase in Romans, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be like Christ. And Paul encouraged his readers, whether it was in Galatia, whether it was in Colossae, and he certainly said in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in him. And Paul longed to see Christ formed in them. And that must be the goal, isn't it, of all Christians, to be like him, to grow up in him, just as a child likes to be like the parent, to walk in him. Paul was not trying to form himself in the Galatians, but Christ. And he didn't want them to go through this second childhood. I don't think there's any doubt that Paul had a very special affection for the Galatian church. We know, as we saw right at the beginning of this particular letter, that it was one of his first churches, and he had developed them, and he had nurtured them, and then he had to leave them. And he said, in verse 20, I long to be present with you. I want to be back with you. I want to come and be with you. But I'd rather not speak in such harsh tones. It's a shame that I have to do that in some ways. It's the voice of a broken-hearted father. Do you remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they'd taken of the fruit? And we have this question that God comes along and said, "Where are you, Adam? Where art thou? Where are you?" And it wasn't a stern father who was cross. It wasn't aggressive in any way. This was a broken-hearted father. This was our God who realized what had happened. And he's as if he's, "What have you done? What have you done, Adam?" I think Paul, with what was going on, was a broken-hearted father. "What have you done?" In a moment, we're going to come around the table here. And we could change that phrase. Instead of "what have we done," we could say "what we have done resulted on our God sending his Son to be present with us." Paul wanted to be present with the Galatian church. He wanted to help them. Our God sent his Son to be present with his people to save them. Paul wanted to help them on the way. God sent his Son, who was the way, the only way. From heaven he came, helpless babe, entered our world. Entered our world, this sin-sick world, and he came for you and me. And before we come around the table, we're going to sing that song together. Let's, if we can, please sing "From Heaven You Came," and then we will come around this table and share together.